listening podcast. To ESPN. KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, John.
It is here, baby. NBA Draft Day.
Isn't that why we're excited? Isn't that why we're excited? Matty Hudak, isn't that why you're in here as well? Huh? What now? What? Jordan didn't put your mic in. Look at that. Good job, Jordan. See, Jordan sabotaged you, didn't you?
I didn't do nothing.
Well, your mic's working.
I mean, I'm over here trying to just...
Oh, here we go. Yep, here we go. Hi, Matty.
Hi.
Yeah, sorry. Heaven forbid, you know, Jordan would make sure that our equipment worked before we start the show.
We were distracted by...
The NBA draft tonight.
Yeah.
That's why everybody's so super excited and refreshing. Come on, 11:30. Come on. Yes, finally they're out of practice. Yes, your New Orleans Saints, day one, practice one of training camp 2021. Jordan, in the books.
Comma, Ian.
Hmm?
What?
What?
You said comma, Ian. What?
Comma,
Ian.
Comma,
you said
Ian?
In the books. Oh, my God. This is so past the point of.
Wow.
Jeez.
I was not ready for that nearly at all. I had no idea what you were talking. That's true. I am excited, actually, because this Saints training camp, we're going to have a ton of storylines. You will convince us each and every day that Taysom Hill is the number one quarterback option for the New Orleans Saints. I will dispel it. Callers will pick a side. Jordan will be stuck in the middle.
I wonder which one they will take.
Jordan will be stuck in the middle. We're going to have a lot of fun here because legitimately, Matty, I honestly do think there is a ton of storylines in here. I know Ross Jackson is going to join us tomorrow, and I was speaking about it this morning. Every day, there's going to be something to look at. I preface that, though, by saying answers aren't going to be found for a bit, right? Okay. Would you say that? We have a lot of things to figure out, but the answers won't be answered or won't come for a bit.
Well, I mean, you could just take, again, the OTAs kind of as an example of that, as all of this information that's really come out in the last 2 days, those were answers that would have probably come out, a month and a half ago had they not kind of kept that under wraps. So I think this is intentional.
Yeah.
And there's been a lot to unpack behind the scenes that is...
Think so?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. We're going to get into that. Yesterday evening, Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis spoke like they normally do before training camp starts. We have all that cut up. Jordan is literally listening and cutting post-practice sound right now. The team just wrapped up. Players are speaking. Alvin Kamara spoke to Mario Davis. Apparently already has the quote of the year per General D. Yeah. On leadership, what is the quote, Matty? Leadership is a lifestyle. Yes. How about DeMario Davis just walk across the parking lot for your New Orleans Pelicans, who, by the way, already were busy today, Jordan. Already were busy today as they have made some moves here as well. So let's just kind of set the day for you. Obviously, today on the show, we'll be focusing a ton on the training camp and then the draft coming up tonight. We'll be live at Hooters, 2781 Bell Chase Highway over on the West Bank. It's where Berman Highway, LaPalco, and Bell Chase Highway all meet. Right there in the corner. You can't miss the sign. You know where Hooters is on the West Bank. We're going to be here from 6 to 10. Jordan's already tweeted a photo of the goodies that we will have. So come on by. I promise we'll do our best, Matty, to make sure that Jordan doesn't take them from anybody.
Who's to say I already have them?
No.
I might have some in my bag already.
Already?
You took some already. You saw I spread out all of the items on the table.
Okay. Wow.
So I might have put a basketball or two.
One for you and one for me.
The trick is to take it before you lay out the video of what the goodies are.
Exactly.
Is that what it is?
That way it's you only know what you see.
Wow. That is something.
Just like the Saints.
Oh, stop. You know, you're grinning way too much with that. Absolutely. Grinning way too much with that. So anyway. Yes, the NBA draft is tonight. We'll be live at Hooters, where you're home for Pelicans basketball. So yes, we're actually going to be somewhat excited about this, even though I don't really know who's picking what and who's picking where. We have a theory. We do know right now the Pels have 4 draft picks. There were 5, Maddie, but earlier today, reports came out that the Pelicans swapped a draft pick for cash considerations. That's right, cash considerations. The 53rd pick going to the Philadelphia 76ers per Shams Charania for cash considerations. That still does leave, though, a couple of draft picks available as well. So, still have 17, 35, 43, and 51 as of now. We will see if that is when they do get up to the podium and make those picks. So, all I know is this. We will be there at 6, and we'll be there for a while. So, come on by, get some wings, have some fun with us. We'll watch the draft. Maddie brought it up at the beginning of the show. We hadn't even touched on it. I don't like to give away spoilers in case you're waiting, but if you don't live on Twitter, like my wife today, she's like, I'm not going to be on there. I tune in tonight to the Olympics if you like gymnastics, and we all know the story surrounding Simone Biles. How does the team respond? I would tune in tonight. Would you say that?
I would
tune in tonight. Yeah, I would tune in tonight. So we could. I'm sure that's going to be on one of the televisions at Hooters as well. And, of course, we'll be watching the NBA draft. Daniel, Jim Eichenhofer, The Graf, myself, Jordan as well. So come on by. And, again, as we say, we got a bunch of goodies. But, Maddie, obviously, we know today that there's one thing to talk about. Are you ready? I am. I'm ready. I feel like we've been just dragging this on forever and ever. What are you
being very creepy today?
How am I being creepy?
You're just laughing all creepy.
I'm excited. Because you know why?
Embrace
no longer will we have to be like, well, what if? Or how do you think? Or who's going to?
Well, that last question is still a question.
You know
what?
You know, both of y'all, just y'all are raining on my parade.
Time now for The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. The Lead. Here's what's topping our headlines on the Sports Hangover.
Do you like how I added a little of that Bulls intro there? Completely by accident, but it kind of, right? You know, and now here's your start of your Saints training camp 2021. Maddie, obviously, number one thing everyone is talking about and will be talking about for a while is good old quarterback, right? We all knew that was going to be the big thing that everyone was going to touch on. So, Maddie, go ahead, since this is your day. Who took the first snaps with the first team reps today?
That would be Taysom Hill.
There he is,
everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, your starting quarterback of your New Orleans.
All right, well.
What? No? What?
I'm cautiously reacting to the news because from what I heard, they both had very good days.
Great days. How many interceptions did Taysom Hill have today?
0.
Oh. There we go.
I didn't think interceptions were his issue, but didn't hear of any fumbles.
That's
either.
True. There was another quarterback that it was his issue. He took snaps with the second string, quarterback Jameis Winston. How many interceptions at practice did he have today?
0.
Jordan, one whole practice, baby. What?
Enjoy it. This is the peak.
Stop it. No. You know what? If you're a Saints fan, this is about as good as
this
it could go.
This is batting 100. No, just
it's about as good as
today.
It can go. Todd Graffanini will join us again. He is the voice of the Pelicans. He is going to be hosting draft night tonight. But he got out there early this morning because he's part of Saints coverage on NewOrleansSaints.com. He texts us. He will join us at some point today when he's done his Saints work. But I will simply read what he texts. And I think if you're a Saints fan, you have to be somewhat happy with that. And he said, we got a legit quarterback battle in terms of this. He thought both quarterbacks looked good, which is a good thing. Both quarterbacks threw 0 interceptions, as he said. And he said, here's the most important part, honestly. 0 incompletions. And what I mean by that, does that shock you a little bit?
July 29th, the best day of the 2021 season.
Hey, look,
market.
See, you're joking, but here's the thing. Drew Brees always had this thing. And again, I'm not saying that every single day we're going to be comparing Drew to these quarterbacks, which inevitably we're going to to an extent, but we're going to be looking at certain things, obviously. And this is why I said at the beginning of the show, the answer to a lot of these questions are going to take some time. Some even into the season. As I keep saying, give me the Buffalo game, and that's when I will figure out where this team sort of is going to be. I think the start of the season, as we're about to get into with some other stuff, it's going to take time. So the good thing, though, is we're going to be looking at certain things that are measurables that you can look at. Pace, command of the huddle, try to maybe read body language and confidence, things of that nature. And again, by the reporters they were allowed at practice today, Jameis kind of stood out with some throws, moved a safety with a pump fake for a touchdown pass to Deontay Harris. But again, I think if you're Taysom Hill, because I'll ask you this, do you think either quarterback entered today with pressure more than the other?
I wouldn't say so, more than the other. I guess it just depends on, if you consider like internal pressure versus external pressure,
What I mean by that, I guess, is like, because I do think if I'm Taysom Hill, right? I mean, like, I'm looking at the room. The guy to the right of me has been a starter. He's a very outgoing, lovable, likable guy. He's been a starter. Did I mention that? All this. But look, here's my opportunity. This is what I've always wanted to do. And you just wonder if it's in his head the following. What is the decision-making going to be based on? Like, can I have a bad day? Can I have a bad practice? Can I have a bad rep? As athletes, you can't think that way, right? You have to go out there and just perform and stuff. So I don't think he's in his head that much like that at all. I just wonder, though, if you don't just sit there, just have those butterflies, knowing, hey, it's a competition. And I legitimately do think there is some of that. You think it's more of a competition than a lot of people feel. I think it's more like Jameis has to lose it. You legitimately think Sean's going to look at this as it's 0-0 starting day one.
Yes, that's what I've pretty much been saying. I don't know why you wouldn't. This isn't a knock to Jameis Winston, which is what I try to, consistently disclaim with. But, with the least offensive way possible, just as Taysom Hill, I don't think Jameis has done anything to necessarily deserve the starting role outright to lose when he, was the third quarterback on the roster. I know that the start had been promised to Taysom Hill the prior offseason, but that just goes to show, if this didn't come in with, Jameis Winston being the primary quarterback, then I don't see any reason why you wouldn't see this as an open competition if you just look at the way that they've operated for the past year and a half.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason why I say it is his to lose is because, again, I'm looking at someone that has been, a starter, a veteran, someone that has competed in the league, was a number one pick, has won a national championship. So I look at it because I think he should be ahead. And I'm not saying that he can be a better quarterback, but
we hire people. To Alex Smith, and lost his job to Colin Kaepernick, who wasn't really a starter, Alex Smith was the number one draft pick.
I get it, but the quarterbacks you're sort of talking to have played quarterback, and could play quarterback. So I don't know. We haven't seen that from Taysom. So I think that's why there's an expectation level maybe to sort of do that. So we're going to get into more of this. We're going to hear from Sean and Mickey from yesterday based on this. Jordan's cutting that as well so we can talk a little bit about it. But there was also some news that came out that, it just continues the news that isn't that great. Maddie, a position group already thin, likely will be thinner at the start of the season. What happened with receiver Deontay Harris?
Apparently was arrested for a DUI on July 19th, but I will just point out that in spite of this news, this was still deemed one of the least weak position groups in the press conference yesterday. So
Sean Payton today said there's really not much to talk about other than they're just waiting for the possible discipline that will come
likely
from this.
2-game suspension based on precedent.
Correct. So,
which gives me pause on the Jameis Winston to Deontay Harris excitement.
Which, by the way, he threw a touchdown pass to Deontay Harris today.
Cool.
But my point is this. So we already know David Onyemata will not be available for the first six games, so definitely not for the opener. Now, Mickey Loomis yesterday was asked if he had any update whatsoever on Marshawn Lattimore. Matty, it's really simple. It took like a second, really for Loomis to answer it, and it really didn't want much to sort of say.
I mean, I've looked up the court case, and there haven't been any developments since March, right, so they really don't have anything.
But here's Loomis.
No, we haven't.
There it is. He hasn't heard anything on Marshawn Lattimore. Now, we're thinking there likely will be something. I mean, again,
unless they drop the charges.
Unless they drop. But we've seen it.
Yeah.
Comrade Goodell. I mean, look, Deshaun Watson has been cleared to go to practice and all that stuff right now, while the NFL says they're still investigating.
Yeah, that's one of the more hilarious subplots, is them having in place scout safety.
Yeah, we'll get to that. So, but that's kind of where we are, right? So, Deontay Harris likely, I guess, would be the best way to look at it, may miss the season opener. Marshawn Lattimore could miss the season opener. David Onyemata is missing the season opener. Michael Thomas will miss the season opener in the first half of the season. That's where we are, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. She's grinning. I don't know if she's grinning, sort of like, you know, welcome to Shady Acres, you know, a sane asylum. Sort
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's a little
exactly.
twitchy.
Is it a little
smile.
Twitchy? Okay, that's good. We're just underway. Also, some other news when it comes to Jackson Hayes. Jordan will fill us in with that. That just got released by the LAPD. We will give you the latest, and then we'll open up the phone calls. Look, we just have one guest today, and that's Touch 'Em All, Timmy Grubbs. Maybe Todd's going to join us at some point. So, two guests. Rest of the way, though, I want to hear from you guys. We'll pass along some of the reports of what people saw. Maddie will tell us what linebacker and who and where were they lining up, who's on the D-line, all of those different things. So we'll touch on all of that and more on the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Let me tell you about some friends I know. They're kind of crazy, but you dig the show.
Breaking news. DraftKings is live in Louisiana with daily fantasy sports. DraftKings has finished dotting their I's and crossing their T's, meaning you can begin playing right now. Get a free entry into DraftKings Daily Fantasy Contest with your first deposit of $5 or more and get a free shot at winning thousands of dollars. Making a lineup on DraftKings adds excitement to every night, and it's simple to do. Draft your lineup and feel the sweat like never before. Every moment means more with a DraftKings lineup on the line. It's simple. Every player has a salary associated with drafting them. Assemble a lineup of players while staying under the salary cap, then sit back and watch your points pile up. Download the top-rated DraftKings app and use code LaRose when you sign up. For a limited time, all new players can have a free shot at winning thousands of dollars with their first deposit. That's code LaRose, only on the DraftKings app. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details.
Set yourself up for success when planning your next event, whether it's wedding, festival, Mardi Gras, rodeo, or concert. Joe Septic Contractors knows that it's important to cover your bases. Joe Septic Contractors can supply multi-stall restroom, air-conditioned trailers anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Planning a luxury event? Check out their new black tie luxury restroom and shower trailers. Visit Joe Septic at viscom.net with locations in Cutoff, Thibodeau, Fouchon, and Abbeville.
Summer heat is approaching, and so are the Red Hot Deals.
Red Hot Deals.
At Craig LeBlanc Toyota in Houma. Shop online at CraigLeBlancToyota.com or at the store. Great offers like the sporty 21 Toyota Camry or the Corolla with class-leading gas mileage and complimentary two-year maintenance. Or the stylish and dependable 2021 RAV4 and Highlander. Stop by Craig LeBlanc Toyota and make this a summer to remember with your new Toyota. Only at your number one volume dealer in Houma. Craig LeBlanc Toyota.
Oh, big talker, ain't you?
The man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Welcome back, Sports Hangover. Gus Kattengill, Matty Hudak, and, of course, Jordan Kleber. Don't forget today, coming up later tonight, 6 o'clock, we'll start our NBA draft show live from Hooters, 2781 Bell Chase Highway. We got goodies. We'll get you caught up on what the Pels are doing. They traded their 53 pick today for cash considerations. We'll get into that. They have four picks still remaining, so we will touch on all of that and more and get you ready for that. Of course, though, we've been touching on Saints training camp. Practice one is in the books, Maddie. Head coach Sean Payton on when he evaluates quarterbacks, how is he looking at it?
It's all of it. I mean, it's all of it. It's every, we're evaluating kind of everything we're seeing. You know, we're charting throws. We obviously understand what group they're with and all those other things, but it's the total of all of it.
One of the other things, Maddie, today was Taysom Hill taking the reps with the one coach.
Just so we don't blow this up, will different quarterbacks work with different groups on different days throughout camp?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so there you go. That's Nick Underhill saying, look, he's going to work with different groups, and yes. And that's kind of what we thought. Maddie, I actually said it. Not to make your day, but I was like, look, Taysom Hill, I thought, would take the first team snaps. He started on this team last year. And again, it kind of goes to, if Jameis is going to win it, he has to earn it and kind of go through that step in process.
Well, I also saw that it was kind of a runner-heavy personnel scheme today, which would line up with Taysom's strengths, but that also, you know, again, could be the only strength of the team at this point. So that's...
Well, and that's something we're going to discuss, because... You seem to believe, and I don't think you're alone. There's some people say, well, look, with the lack of receivers, and I actually brought this up to you. I said, I wonder if that maybe gives Taysom Hill a certain edge from this aspect of it of, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and run it since I don't know what receivers you have. Already, though, you're going to have teams probably playing tight and saying, hey, look, those receivers are going to have to beat me to try to combat Alvin Kamara, which you brought up today, one of the quote-unquote highlights of the day. And you say it's a highlight because of why? What play was it with Hill?
Well, he executed a screen pass that I'm pretty sure went, let me just check. Big yardage in the final team period. And that was one of the biggest knocks on Taysom Hill last year was his inability to use Alvin Kamara. I've shared that video now of Kamara kind of coming up with plays himself to play off of Taysom Hill. And I was bringing up this to Jordan before the show started, but I've kind of been tracking Alvin Kamara's workouts this offseason, and I'm not so sure everyone has been paying attention to him training with linebackers largely out on the field, kind of doing backfield and power-heavy workouts as opposed to his normal agility. And he's been doing that for about 2 months now. Just kind of curious to me with that news about Michael Thomas kind of being out for several months now and how his routine has kind of changed to lunges with power and zigzagging out of the backfield more than catching things in the air and doing those kind of nifty tricks that he does. I just think that the circumstances at this point may favor Taysom Hill only because Jameis Winston can throw deep. We all know that. But you have to be able to establish an intermediate passing game in order for the long balls to actually be something that the defense isn't just basically waiting for. And Michael Thomas, to me, that's where he hurts, is the inability to establish that intermediate. And then if you take out one of the deep ball threats in Deontay Harris, that leaves, I don't know, Traquan Smith as the deep ball threat and then Marquez Callaway as the intermediate receiver. It's a markedly different picture than what you would, you know, see giving Jameis Winston a better shot in this offense.
So, look, let's be honest. We're going to get into some of the things that we saw today. And, Maddie, let's just kind of – I know some people may be in and out of lunch, and we're going to discuss this a little bit further. But one of the position groups we were looking at is linebacker. And the question was, who's going to be next to DeMario Davis? Well, in particular, running with the ones, a pair of players were.
Pete Werner and Zach Bond.
Yeah. Okay. So, that just – that's – where it started today. Who's going to be the opposing cornerback next to Marshawn Lattimore? Who was that opposing quarterback today?
Probably as it should be at the time being Patrick Robinson.
Okay.
He brings the experience. He brings the team knowledge, being that he's been here on now two trips. Paulson Adebo, from what I've heard, looked good.
Right. I like Paulson. I told you, I think I could see him making that push. But again, it's day one, it's practice one. But wanted to get that out there quickly before we start playing some of the sound. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the things that happened at practice. But I'm just trying to think, okay, you know, like if I'm a Saints fan, okay, there's some decisions and stuff. Defensive line, who was playing over at the tackle position and things of that nature, rotating at the end. Look, there were so many team drills here. So I'm just kind of pointing out the ones that we didn't know what name. Now we know after day one, at least that's what they went with. So I don't know if that's the barometer, but that's what they went with. And at quarterback, as Sean said, they're going to rotate. So I would assume maybe Jameis Winston works with the ones tomorrow. And Maddie, this is what we talked about. It would make sense to kind of go back and rotate and kind of do it from that perspective. But the other big story, obviously, was Michael Thomas, and you touched on. Does that help? How does that affect the quarterback? How does that affect how you're going to use the running back? How does it affect the other receiving? It's a big thing. So Mickey Loomis yesterday was asked, what happened with Michael Thomas? And that's what he had to say.
You know, I'll say a couple things on it, and then I don't think we'll say anything more on it. The first is, look, Mike had the injury. We all know about that, the high ankle sprain. He was treated conservatively during the season. You know, he came back. He played in the last two preseason game or last two postseason games. Excuse me. Still had a few issues after the season. Look, it was decided that he was going to treat that conservatively, and I think we all had an expectation that would heal and he'd be fine coming into camp this year. But we get to the mini camp and obviously it wasn't quite right, so we had to make a call and collectively made the call to have the surgery in June. Look, obviously, if we, you know, with hindsight, we would have preferred that surgery to be earlier, in February or March, but it wasn't. It is what it is, and hopefully he's had a good result so far, and hopefully we'll get him back sooner rather than later.
All right, so Maddie, that's General Manager Mickey Loomis's thoughts on the Michael Thomas thing. Here was Sean Payton, who spoke after Mickey Loomis when asked about Michael Thomas.
Well, look, it appears we're going to have to spend some time without him. It's disappointing, and we'll work through it with the other players that are here. But the surgery took place, and obviously, we would have liked that to have happened earlier than later. And quite honestly, it should have.
Can you explain? I mean, was there a lack of communication in between?
Nope. I'm going to leave it at that.
That was Mike Triplett, ESPN.
He tried.
Look, I think Mickey Loomis was very diplomatic in sort of saying, hey, they were hoping mm-hmm. that things would be different. It didn't. Loomis did add this.
Well, look, obviously, when he had that surgery, that was determined in June. And so we've known since then that the conservative treatment didn't work and that we had to do surgery. So we've had a little time.
Okay. So you heard him. We've had little time. And when they found out was when they found out they needed surgery, which is why you heard Sean Payton say what he said. I'm going to leave it at that. And it should have been. I can clarify that for people if you'd like. Sean's ticked off. Sean absolutely feels this should have happened months ago. And you sort of wonder if the player was, again, it's his body, his decision to an extent, right? I mean, it is. Maybe he was the one pushing for, let's see if it can heal naturally. I don't know. But am I wrong to assume, Maddie, listening to the general manager and the head coach on those sound bites, it really does seem like the Saints in June found out, what do you mean you need surgery?
Well, from what Nick Unruh has kind of been able to piece together, very bare bones knowledge, but that there was a first evaluation where they said, let's do the conservative method and come back for a second one, and then we'll decide at that point. And for, undetermined reasons, Michael Thomas didn't make or, show up for that second evaluation. So I think that's kind of where the ticked offness comes into it. But I don't know. With all of that information, seems like I would check up on my star receiver at some point.
Somebody I would probably want to know how things are going.
Yeah. So there seems like there was a communication breakdown, and I, won't speculate further on that.
Now, Maddie, this is kind of why maybe I would have minded having a mini camp or something of that nature to kind of, he's in the building. Why are you limping?
I'm sure it's why you would have wanted a mini camp.
Exactly. I would have liked to have known in May. Jordan, why are you limping there, buddy? Do you need to go see a doctor? I mean, you shouldn't be limping. For whatever or however it came to be, that's where the team is, though. So I wanted to play that off the get-go before we start getting into a lot of the other aspects of this team along the way here. So we're just getting started. It's day one. We will appropriately overreact on certain things and have a little fun because that's what it is. Because, Maddie, at least we can legitimately talk about practices, things we're seeing. Now we get to speculate and fill in the blanks on a couple of things. Mm. All right?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's the Sports Hangover. Bottom of the hour. When we come back, we'll continue. So we'll hear more from Sean Payton, Mickey Loomis, plus Alvin Kamara, who spoke earlier today, DeMario Davis. That's still coming. Tim Grubbs is joining us at 2:15. Todd at some point when he's done his Saints work. That's it. Rest of the way, we want to give you as much info as possible. We want to take your phone calls as well. Don't forget, it is NBA Draft Night. We'll be live at Hooters, 2781 Bell Chase Highway, coming up at 6 p.m. today. It's at least 9, 10-ish, whatever. Depends what the Pels are going to do. We have four picks, starting with number 17 as of now. We'll find out later if that holds on. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
The New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Foundation presents the 15th annual Louisiana Cajuns Attico Festival, happening every Friday and Saturday beginning July 9th through the 31st. Louisiana's most beloved Cajun and Attico performers will take the stage at the George and Joyce Wynn Jazz and Heritage Center. Chubby Cartier, Beausoleil avec Michael Doucet, the Magnolia Sisters, Corey Ledee, Dwayne Dupsy, and the Attico Hellraisers, Sweet Cecilia, and many more. Admission is free to all concerts. Visit www.cajunsatticofest.com.
Dreaming of buying your first home? What's the first step in getting a home loan? What type of assistance is available? At the Louisiana Housing Corporation, we have answers. Our mission is to help you make the most of your investment with down payment assistance, low interest rates, and tax credits. Attend one of our homebuyer education classes to learn about affordable solutions for Louisiana homebuyers. Let us help you make your dream of homeownership a reality. Contact Louisiana Housing Corporation today.
Sponsored by the Louisiana Housing Corporation.
Avenue Wine and Spirits has one of the largest and most diverse wine and spirit selections in the city. At 2025 St. Charles Avenue, Avenue Wine and Spirits has some of the rarest bourbons, wines, and Japanese whiskeys, like 18-year-old Yamasaki. Avenue Wine and Spirits sells wine by the glass, and they've got free delivery for orders over $20. Dial 504-522-3864. Never show up empty-handed to a watch party again. Avenue Wine and Spirits, 2025 St. Charles Avenue.
When you're sick, you want to be close to home. World-class medicine doesn't require a trip to the city because the best care is close to home at Thibodeau Regional. We're continually adding new services, and our team of physicians has grown to more than 250.
That's a lot of doctors.
More doctors, more services, treating more conditions.
And keeping more families healthy.
World-class medicine, right here, close to home at Thibodeau Regional.
Adventure, intrigue, mystery, romance.
It's a storm of entertainment that brings down the house.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Because it did break. Was it this morning, Manny? Right? About Deonte Harris? It was arrested earlier in the month. Catherine Terrell finding out a little bit of info, Jordan, who she tweeted.
Yeah, more on Deonte Harris's charges, driving under the influence, speeding 77 in a 55, failure to obey properly placed traffic control device instructions, and reckless driving.
Head coach Sean Payton, again, earlier this morning at practice, was asked about Deonte Harris. Not much to really say per him.
There's not much to say other than, you know, you guys – we'll wait and see what transpires relative to any type of discipline. You guys will probably know before I will.
Raymond, thank you for giving us a call here in the Sports Hangover. How are you, sir?
Good.
Hey, man, how are you?
Good. How about you?
Good. What you got?
I wanted to see right?
Say that again, buddy.
Y'all with L.A. Crime Stoppers, right?
L.A. Crime Stoppers?
No, Fighters.
Fire.
I don't know what you're saying. What now?
Like fighting. Fighters.
Fighting.
L.A. Crime Fighting?
Yes.
In what reference? What are you talking about? Raymond? I have no idea what Raymond is saying. Did somebody else get that? I couldn't hear clearly what he was saying. Was he talking about the LAPD thing with Jackson Hayes? I don't really. I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know if it was my hearing, but we did find a little bit more news here. Will Guillory tweeting it here a little bit. So if that's what it was about or not, go ahead. He has seen the police report on the Jackson Hayes arrest yesterday.
Yeah, I'll just say what Will put in his tweet. There's a news release from the Los Angeles Police Department. It's kind of lengthy. So you could go check out Will Guillory Twitter at Will Guillory. But no, in his tweet it says the LAPD released this statement today on the Jackson Hayes arrest. They say the arrest was captured on an officer's body cam and is being reviewed by the Force Investigation Division because force may have been applied to Hayes's neck.
Okay, so again, we're getting more and more details as to what happened. Obviously, an officer and Hayes went to a hospital to be treated for injuries, so there was an altercation, obviously, on that. The Times-Picayune put out a story yesterday, which kind of detailed a little bit more info. I guess they called neighbors around and stuff. The thing that was that stood out to me in the story was that people heard yells of, "Don't turn him over," being screamed by a woman. "Don't turn him over." I don't remotely know what that would possibly mean, but I can't imagine that's probably, you know, and again, and Jackson Hayes didn't want an officer to go into the house. So go check out Christian Clark's piece on that, in which they apparently called the neighborhood and spoke with neighbors. They didn't want to be identified, but they were giving their takes and said there was a lot of screaming. Then a lot of police showed up, and then that they did see a tall individual being taken away into an ambulance. But that screaming started obviously before the police came, and it was by a woman. And so Christian Clark has a lot of details on that story if you want to go check that out. Back to the Saints and looking at training camp day number one. Before we got to this point, though, Maddie, one of the things that was key, look, we kind of got a behind-the-scenes sort of peek of it on Tuesday because we were there at the facility for the Willie Green press conference, was the COVID testing. It's a massive story coming into the season, not just for the Saints but for the NFL. They've put rules in place. It'll be interesting to see if the NBA will moving forward, but fines, certain protocols for unvaccinated players and such. So obviously it was one of the first questions to Mickey Loomis yesterday, and it was essentially on vaccinations and how he felt about the team and where they were in the percentage of players.
And I'm going to count the guys that are in process. We're going to be well over 90%. You know, which is a real good number for us, you know, for anyone really. Hopefully we'll get to 100% at some point.
One of the things, Maddie, as well, that is something I'm glad he kind of touched on and he was asked, okay, so how do you operate when you have some players that aren't? Because, Maddie, the protocols are different. You can't kind of, you know, freely roam in the room. You got to wear masks, be tested differently multiple times a day, things of that nature. Loomis touched on that a little bit.
Really, there's a difference between the vaccinated and the unvaccinated. We're lucky enough to have a real high percentage of vaccinated players, and, you know, at least within the building, we can operate, you know, relatively normal. There are some protocols relative to that apply to the unvaccinated players. We have a few of those. But, look, we've got a number of guys that are in the process of being vaccinated, and so I expect those effects to, at least within the building and during training camp, to be relatively, relatively easy to handle.
The other aspect of it too, Ed Daniels, WGNO 26, Channel 26, asked him about, look, Maddie, there's some players that aren't, and about maybe trying to convince them. And the question by Ed was, is he surprised that he still has to do that right now with it? And Loomis was pretty kind of blunt about it.
And I'm going to count the guys that are in process. We're going to be well over 90%.
I meant this one.
Well, look, I just think it's a reflection of society in general. There are people that are choosing not to, be vaccinated. I wish that everyone would get vaccinated. You know, I've been vaccinated. All of our staff have been vaccinated. So that would be my preference. And yet, look, it's a free country, and guys are free to make their own decisions, and, you know, deal with the consequences and the rules as they sit within, you know, in terms of the NFL, in terms of our guys. They've got some protocols that unvaccinated guys have to deal with. And so if they're willing to deal with those, that's their choice. But obviously, for me, and I believe in the vaccinations. I think we should all get them, and I think it's for the greater good.
Hey, Coach Sean Payton was also asked about his thoughts on the vaccine.
I'm focused on a camp, not a PSA right now. I appreciate the question, and you want people to be educated and understand, where we're trying to get to, and I'm just one of those guys that prefers to look at the science as opposed to some other things, but mainly focused just on this team and in the locker room now. Obviously, we want to play in front of our fans. That's a huge advantage for us. If you just paid attention to the Stanley Cup Finals, you had one team with great success winning the cup and with a tremendous fan base down in Tampa, and then their opponent didn't have that same advantage, but those guys in Tampa did a great job, and I think it means a lot. I think it means a lot to your players.
Speaking of attendance, Mickey Loomis was asked, training camp, which tomorrow, schedule, again, if the practice is outdoors, fans can go, but it's the first of several practices that fans can attend. So he was asked about attendance at camp and attendance in home games as numbers continue to surge here in the New Orleans area.
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, for training camp, you know, we've got, I think, 7, 8, 9 practices that are open to the public, and I expect and I would assume they'll be well attended. We have, you know, protocols that we have in place don't allow much contact between, you know, our staff and those fans, but they can come out and watch. And look, I hope they do. I hope they turn out like they would in any year. I think we always practice better when it's in front of the fans. We expect full houses at the stadium. That's important for the New Orleans Saints. It's important for our home games to have, the crowds that we've had over the years. They're loud. They affect the game. And we're all looking forward to a full dome. And so, that's our expectation.
And look, we saw Matty, obviously, in the NBA Finals, the fact that, the impact that fans sort of had. I mean, we were kind of joking that Jordan should have taken a flight over to Green Bay and hung out, what was it called, Deer Valley again, Jordan? I mean, you could have had fun over there.
I think Deer District.
Yeah, Deer District, 65,000 people are out there.
I mean, I went to a game last year, right, and to say that the atmosphere is morose would be a kind way of putting it. I joked that I was solely responsible for a fan in black play where I was trying to bang on all the chairs around me to make some semblance of a noise, but it's really hard to fill a 60,000 person dome with, you know, 5 people per row and expect that to be, that's probably overshooting it. So
right,
there really is a difference, and it kind of sucks that, like, you know, at least Drew didn't get that send off, but especially with kind of the way the Saints are batting right now, having a stadium with fans that can help play defense on third down would be helpful.
I'm going to say they need all the help they can get right now.
Yeah.
A lot of different players sort of missing at least some time at the very beginning.
I think, too, like, I think Sean has every right to kind of have the position he's in, given that he was one of the earlier people to have COVID. He, you know, donated plasma to it. But right, there's also a lot of, like, game ramifications this year for unvaccinated players where it's a forfeit and no one on either team gets paid. And
right,
that's
– and the team responsible for the forfeiture then has to cover the losses for both teams.
Yeah. So, I can see where, you know, if you're looking at what's mathematically about 8 players just saying, you know, can you just – my thing is, they all went to college. If I remember correctly, I had to submit proof of vaccination to go to college. And football is not a sport that you can kind of skip college as of now. So I understand, you know, there's a choice involved. But when you're being paid presumably millions of dollars to play a professional sport, my sympathy is pretty, you know, not there.
Fair point. It's tough for me to understand, believe me, in a lot of different areas. But wanted to present the thoughts of the Saints head coach and general manager on that standpoint moving forward, because it is still a story. The numbers are all still rising in and around here. And it's something that I thought about and was actually speaking with Jordan, my wife, and stuff of that nature over this week. Just in this parish where the Saints facility is here in Jefferson Parish, the numbers are quadrupling by the day. So right now, there's fans at practice. Right now. And right now, there's going to be fans, as Luma says, he anticipates, in the Dome. There, you have Monster Jam coming up on Saturday. That's not been scheduled or anything. So we will see how that goes, right? But just wanted you guys to listen to it. Quick break. We come back. Sean Payton on all the new faces. Because, Maddie, a lot of the questions that we have, obviously, is who's going to be starting here and there. You have a lot of different faces. So let's see. Thoughts on him, by him on that, and also the general manager, too. Like, what do you think? Is there an excitement level or is there a uh-oh level? I think it can be both. I think it can be both. It's a Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Wonder if you should get tested for colorectal cancer? Well, it's the second leading cancer killer in the U.S., and screening helps prevent it. So if you're 50 or older, it's time. Even if it doesn't run in your family, most often colorectal cancer occurs in people with no family history. And it doesn't always cause symptoms, especially early on. So don't wait for symptoms to get tested. Screening helps prevent the disease by finding precancerous polyps so they can be removed. Remove the polyp, prevent the cancer. Screening also helps find colorectal cancer early when treatment works best. You might be thinking, oh no, not that test. But here's the thing, you have options. There's more than one screening test. Talk to your doctor to find the one that's right for you. No more excuses. If you're over 50, get tested, because colorectal cancer screening really does save lives. A message from HHS and CDC's Screen for Life campaign.
Make this the summer event at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right ones should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
How can we be excited about a show where we just talk?
Talk sports.
That's how they talk in the Major League.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
I was passing along the information to Maddie Hudak of NBA Central this morning. Jordan, I know you enjoy this. I just sent this to Travis, by the way, to make sure that he also was ready to go with this information and news. Jordan, that came out earlier today that I know you're super pumped up about, from the man who apparently can go one-on-one with Jesus himself and take him to the hole, you know, and just why don't you go ahead and give the info? You want to give it or you want me to give it?
I mean, apparently the Lakers can't trade Kyle Kuzma.
Can't give him away.
Save anyone's life.
They literally can't give him away. The report is the Lakers have tried and have offered Kyle Kuzma to the Cavaliers, the Timberwolves, the Jazz. There are no takers. That's anybody want? Once again, he was included in the Godfather trade. Remember back in the day?
How many of those players still want to be on the Pelicans?
And there was some report. We're going to get into all of this tonight, 6 to whenever. We're going to be at Hooters over on the West Bank. Okay? We got a lot to get into tonight.
A lot.
Yeah. I mean, there's literally tweets of, where should Lonzo Ball go? Who wants Lonzo's services? Just think
Rich
about
Paul.
That. Yeah, Josh Hart may want, you know, he wants a fresh start. The AD and True trade, we just need to move forward. It didn't go the way we would have liked it to have gone, huh? Yikes. Anyway, I'll keep this music running here for a quick second because, Maddie, I don't know if you've downloaded it yet. The new DraftKings app, because DraftKings is now live in Louisiana. And it is a way to make a couple, little extra change here. Look, you can start playing right now. Get a free entry into DraftKings Daily Fantasy Contest with your first deposit of $5. Even Jordan can afford that. And plus you get a free shot at winning thousands of dollars. Making a lineup on DraftKings, of course, it adds excitement to every night. It's simple to do, including what's going on in Tokyo. So you set up your lineup. Every player has a salary associated with drafting them. So you assemble your lineup. And you have to stay under the salary cap, which, Maddie, we know a little bit about here in New Orleans. Salary capping and staying under salary cap. and then you sit back and watch the points pile up. So, look, go do it. It's really that easy. Download the top-rated DraftKings app now. Please use the code LAROSE, L-A-R-O-S-E, when you sign up. And for a limited time, all new players will have a free shot at winning thousands of dollars with their first deposit. So, naturally, never been a better time to get in on all of the action with DraftKings. Use that code LAROSE only on the DraftKings app.
Well, I mean, I did play fantasy last year, and you want to know who my first round pick was?
Who was that?
Oh, Michael Thomas.
Really?
So, in terms of luck.
Probably not a good thing.
Yeah.
All right, so.
Better than the person that thought they were selecting Alvin Kamara and selected a free agent named Kamar.
Oh. Ooh.
I
might want, you might want to learn how to actually spell the name.
Two rounds later, yeah. I'm like, did that person mean to draft?
Probably not a good thing. 800-998-1003 if you'd like to chime into the conversation. Guests will be coming along in a third hour. I think the Graf's going to join us at the top of the 2 o'clock hour. Tim Grubbs, 2:15. Very sad day for me, guys. Very sad day. Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, not in today's starting lineup.
Who cares? No one.
Likely means they
only
will be,
you.
They'll be traded today.
Good.
At some point. So,
clowns.
Yeah. Well,
how am I breaking?
I got
doing?
To see one. I got to see one championship. I got to see one. Anyway, trying to build a team to win a championship. As head coach Sean Payton was asked after practice about all the new faces.
But I don't know that it's different. In other words, it's different because one of them is. Been a quarterback that's been with us for a long period of time, but outside of that, I think there's a certain amount of attrition every year, and look, it's a young players' league, and our job is to draft them, train them, develop them, and get them ready to play, and so certainly there are some position groups maybe that are younger than others, but I think that's pretty consistent with the job description. Year in and year out.
Interesting.
Attrition is the most.
What? That's.
It's a term to use.
Yeah. Well, this team, it sure is.
It's used in warfare, which is, I don't know how dissimilar from the way that things have transpired so far.
Loomis was asked yesterday about developing talent. Maddie, you haven't had to at the quarterback position. I mean, this. Been like one or two guys, but the Saints and Sean Payton's been here. You haven't had to develop that, but you've seen a lot of players kind of get better. I mean, even Trey Hendrickson, right? I mean, he developed here and he went on to go get a better contract. So you've seen players step up, draft picks step into big roles and things of that nature. So what do you have to say?
One thing that our staff and our head coach in particular has done a great job of is being able to assess what a player does well and then adapting what they ask him to do to his skill set. And so I wouldn't want to put that in one box and say you have to have, A, B, or C. You might have, different traits that different guys have, and then Sean and his staff will adjust accordingly. I think they've been fantastic doing that over the years. Now, we've had the same quarterback for 15 years, so they haven't had to do that at that position. And yet we have had over the last 2 years, 8 games that Drew missed and the next guy plugged in. And obviously the game was called a little differently and the plays that were in the game plan were adjusted accordingly. So again, I think that is more a talent of our staff to be able to adjust to the skill set that the players that we have fit.
What, I mean, what else can they do other than kind of adjust players based on their skill sets at this point? But they always have emphasized versatility in almost every position. Mm-hmm. And this is where you either, you know, kind of die on that hill or see it pay off in dividends if they can kind of move these puzzle pieces around in a way that works.
One of the things that stood out to me, and he said that too, is, and they have, find what's best fitting or what best fits for them and put those players in the position to succeed, which, again, is literally the number one job of a coach. And good coaches do that. They adjust their strategy, their philosophy, their game plan. And the reason I bring that up before we go to General D here, Matt, is because it's something we're going to see in this quarterback battle. They're two different quarterbacks. I mean, they just are. So how do you develop them? How do you philosophically go with it? And Sean was asked about that, and I'll play that here in a quick sec. But it's interesting. How do you put those guys in a position to succeed? Because for both, I think it's different. Mm-hmm. Am I wrong on that?
No, I don't think you're wrong at all. It's not a secret that they are, like, I said this before, but like apples and cucumbers in terms of comparing quarterback styles. Right. Like, the playbook might be the same, but I'm actually not so sure about that this year. I'll get into this a little bit, but just to kind of throw this out there, did they develop Drew Brees? Not necessarily, but did he become a way better quarterback under Sean's system with Pete Carmichael and everything? I would argue yes. So just kind of people fail, you just remember back in 2006 kind of what Drew Brees' the perception of him was and what he kind of grew into on the Saints. Was that Drew was at the Saints? This might, you know, be really the litmus test.
Right. We'll see. General D, thank you for giving us a buzz here on the Sports Hangover, sir. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm excited, man. It's draft day.
It is. NBA draft day, baby. You ready?
Yeah, I'm absolutely ready. I can't be at Hooters with you guys because I'm at the beach, but that means I've been doing nonstop draft analysis. I've been digging in pretty hard here. So I'll
give you this, General D. You got about 2.5 to 3 minutes before the top of the hour and have to hit the break at the top of the hour. So since you've been doing research in the sand and hanging out under the sun, why don't you tell us what the Pels can do with the 4 draft picks that they got as of now?
Well, as of now, where they stand at 17, I'll give you a couple of guys whose names are kind of in that cloud. Chris Lork for Oregon, he'd be a guy who's a senior, so he may be dropping a little bit. He's a guy that could probably come in and give you some good minutes, and your second rotational guy. Trey Murphy, he's a guy he's a junior from Virginia. He's a guy that's projected in that cloud. Jalen Johnson from Duke, he's a freshman, he's a point forward. He kind of was a underachiever at Duke. Corey Crisp is still one guy that's kind of been dropping down that has an opportunity to get in there and give some big minutes. Then there's a guy that that I think if based upon, you know, where we're going to move from, if you want at 17 you want to move back, there's the possibility of landing Larry Shammert. There's been talks with Brooklyn, and there's some opportunities for him to come to the Pelicans. And then as you look there, there's some opportunities for us to roll out possibly Nau, Tyrell Lewis. Your possibilities for your first starting lineup, if you go with Lowry, you have Lowry, Nau, B.I., Zion, and us, Jonas. And in your second group, you'd have Kyra, Shamit. There's a guy that's kind of lingering out there for mid-level exemption would be Ingles, is a guy that we could target. Najee Harris is a guy that obviously said he's nothing but praise on the roster. And then see what happens with Jackson Hayes. Let's not forget, it's a 10-man rotation right now, and there's guys that are still in this roster that are signed. With Didi Lazada, who came in last year from Brazil, he's a guy that played overseas and looks like a guy that could be your stopper. And then Winyon Gabriel is still in this roster. But I think that those guys that we have right now are some core pieces, implementing some of this talent. If we stay at 17, there's some guys that come in and make an actual difference, or go with go back again, which I think we could – a trade partner would be there would be Brooklyn. So that's where I'm at. I think – there's a lot of possibilities, and I'm pretty excited about what's going to happen. So I think something else is going to happen before the end of the day.
There is. General D, thank you so much. And I'll add this as we wrap up hour number one. The Lakers, Jordan Kleber, are interested also in Landry Shamet. Who else they're interested in?
They're interested in everybody.
Buddy Hield, everybody. So the Lakers are interested
in everybody. The NBA.
Never enough for your king and mine. Well, at least I'm mine. Is he your king?
No.
That's it. Hour number one's in the books. We come back, your phone calls and more. Maddie's going to delve a little deeper into some of the observations that were made.